with our Theater Roundtable. Now I want to go in and talk about some specific theater programs and things going on. And since you're already a week in the school, Charlie Pepitone from Gonzaga, what are a few cool things you guys are doing?
Yeah, we've got a really exciting season this year. We're starting out with a guest artist production this week of Mark St. Germain's Freud's Last Session. I directed the show for Wayland University down in Texas last March with their Dean of Fine Arts and one of my college theater mates down there who's playing Lewis. And so that'll be this weekend at the Magnuson Theater, Friday and Saturday nights. It's an imagined conversation between Sigmund Freud and C.S. Lewis on the day in 1939 that England enters World War II. Wow. Really beautiful conversation that they have. You can imagine God, sex, death, the whole gamut.
Yeah.
So that's this week, and they're on campus working with our students in classes, which is really exciting. We started rehearsal last night. I'm doing double duty this week. We started last night with Mr. Burns, a post-electric play, which is a brand new.
What do you mean by post-electric?
Well,
you're about to tell me.
That's a great question. It's a new-ish play. It premiered in 2013. It's a musical. It's a really naturalistic, post-apocalyptic drama. All of this takes place right after the fall of the electric grid.
Oh,
and
see,
all of the nuclear power plants melt down and radiation is roaming the nation. And so Act One starts with a group of friends around a fire doing what people do, recounting their favorite Simpsons episode. And so the whole play is about how does pop culture from one era become the mythology of the next? And over the course of 82 years, you see this, the Cape Fear episode, to be specific, of The Simpsons become the single unifying mythology of the culture. And the last act is this just beautiful, wacky, funny, heartbreaking pageant play of Mr. Burns, this the story of how the culture fell, basically. So just really interesting, hyper-modern, hyper-contemporary musical.
So will that end up being... Oh, it's a musical.
Mm-hmm.
Will that be your major fall production?
Yeah, it opens in November. It'll mm-hmm. play November 10 through 20.
Mm-hmm.
We have some student-directed things in the middle of that,
sure.
Some student-written 10-minute plays, student-directed and acted in October. In December, we're going to be working with Terrain this year for our directing showcase. And so they're going to host the student directing scenes all on the anti-war theme at the Cracker Factory in December, which is really exciting. Excited to work with them. Then in the spring, our first show is Shakespeare's Troilus and Cressida in February. We have a guest artist, Sarah Romersberger, who works with Shakespeare Dallas, who's coming up and directing that. It's a new version, also a musical version of it. So she's taken a lot of the soliloquies, set them to music with some of her collaborators. And so it's not a Shakespeare most people have heard of or see it. So it's a love story set in ancient Troy, and it's a musical with, she's a movement director too, so she does a lot of mm-hmm. sword fighting and things.
A quick sidebar that any of you could jump in on. What about when you do the obligatory Shakespeare, and I don't mean that in any negative sense, but that one must, of the famous ones versus the lesser known ones. Are there pros and cons in choosing a Shakespeare play for your college that any of you have thought about?
Well, we just did Richard III last year, and certainly the pros to the big name ones is audience appeal.
Mm.
Although Spokane has always been really present for Shakespeare, the huge audience turnout for Shakespeare, which is great. When we did Richard, when you do something that's really well known, it offers itself up to do crazier things, perhaps. Mm-hmm. So our Richard III, I cut it almost by half and set it in corporate America, which it seemed kind of great. And we played with projections and all kinds of fun modernization things. When you do something lesser known, you're bringing something that people may not be as familiar with, which also opens up tremendous creative opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those are a few of the really cool things going on at Gonzaga this year, Charlie Pepitone. And since you were just speaking, Diana, let's move to your start classes tomorrow, and you probably have some sense of who your theater people are and who you have available. Do you already have plays cast, or do you do that?
Oh, no, we have auditions starting tonight. So
you've chosen a play, mm-hmm. and you're going to have to hope that the people show up to
yes.
audition for it that are going to be able to pull it off.
That's always exciting.
That's almost like playing chicken, isn't it? Well, within that, what are some of the things that you're doing?
It's musical year at Whitworth, and after a number of years where we've done more contemporary musicals, we're going back to the classics. We're doing Music Man. It gets done a lot, but it hasn't been done at Whitworth in over 30 years. So we're really excited about that. It also just feels like it's a little bit of a tough time culturally this season. So we wanted to do something that appealed to that some of those issues that Sarah was speaking about earlier, with the need for the community to come together and laugh together and enjoy themselves and celebrate how talented the students mm-hmm. are. So we're doing Music Man in October. Auditions.
Comfort food musical.
Comfort food musical, exactly. That's also surprisingly difficult. People roll their eyes at some of these old chestnuts, but some of them are quite... They've survived as long as they have for a reason. So revisiting this particular piece has been a lot of fun for me. And then we have our student festival of short plays and various other student projects. And then early in the spring, we'll be down at the Bing. We'll be hosting our spring production down there, and we're doing Go Dog Go. So another musical, smaller venue aimed at kids and families, but just... an incredibly creative, fun show. So we're just really looking at having a really good time in the theater department this year.
And before we go on to another college, you did remind me about that fact of playwriting. What involvement do you have within your programs for encouraging the writing of plays? Is that your job description too?
That's my department chair, Kathleen Jeffs, heads up our playwriting, and I was just in her playwriting class, and they're preparing to do our 10-minute play festival, which is what I alluded to. It's October 7 and 8, and it's all 10 or 12 new 10-minute plays, all student acted, written, and directed, mm-hmm. which is always exciting because you never know what you're going to get, what mm-hmm. the stories are going to be.
Do you expect most of your serious actors and your drama majors to take a playwriting course? And is that part of what's expected to learn, or is that optional?
I think playwriting has sadly become a little lost in theater curriculum. But we just started to offer playwriting. And, of course, with the adaptation of the things they carried that you mentioned earlier, I've tried to model more of that jumping into the deep end and of trying to adapt and develop work. And so Jeff and I are actually working on adapting poetry from John Rybecki and Julie Moulds. That I have no idea what the end result of that will be, mm-hmm. but I'm modeling that for my students.
Mm-hmm. Just to take a chance and try something.
To take a stab mm-hmm. at it in terms of developing new works, new stories. Mm-hmm. So that's tentatively called mm-hmm. We Are a Poem that will be featured in Get Lit in spring.
Oh, good. Sarah Goff from EWU. We'll come back to you for a more thorough thing. So let's go to Josephine Keefe. Okay. And we should give a little behind-the-scenes admission here that you're part of the theater department, but William Marlowe is, I think, the chair, and then
yes.
one of his able assistants is Sarah Edlin Marlowe, our afternoon host, so we have a lot of connections with what goes on there, which is really fun to watch. But talk about a few of the things
of
you
course.
Have going.
Of course, and Bill was very sorry not to make it. He is taking in this last opportunity to go camping this mm-hmm. week with Sarah, so that's where they are. So this fall... Bill will be directing The Good Doctor by Neil Simon. It's Neil Simon's charming comedy, a nod to Anton Chekhov. That is running from November 10th to the 13th and November 17th to the 20th at the Spartan mm-hmm. Theater. Winter Quarter, I will be directing The Misanthrope by Moliere, the translation adaptation by Martin Krimp. My voice and speech teacher would cringe at the thought that I'm not doing Richard Wilbur, but and though I would agree on him, with him on many points in that respect, I think that Martin Krimp's adaptation set in the 20th century, dealing with more of our 20th century smartphones and TVs and the things that are disengaging us from human interaction, takes the core of The Misanthrope and sets it in modern day, which I think will be more applicable and palatable to young audiences and to our young actors. So that will...
But does now, is that in rhyme?
Yes.
Yeah.
It'll be in rhyme. It's, you know, it has some cursing in it and, you know, drug...
Elizabethan cursing?
Drug use. And, yeah, there's... stretches the bar. It stretches it a little bit in terms of, you know, maybe what Moliere had in mind. But again, we have our Alceste, we have the core, our cantankerous lover is still very present in the play. So I'm looking forward to directing that. And that runs March 2nd through the 5th and March 9th through the 12th. Mm-hmm. And then Sarah Edlin Marlowe will come back Spring Quarter to direct Max Frisch's The Arsonists, which is a German expressionistic play that was written post-World War II, first performed under the title Biedermann and the Firebugs in Germany of 1958. It's a dark comedy set in a town that is being regularly attacked by arsonists. So it's a metaphor for how these German citizens normalized evil behavior, basically. Mm-hmm.
And so that's Josephine Keefe from the and with the three quarters, one major production each quarter, obviously at SFCC. Before we get to Sarah Goff, one other topic that I want you to jump in on is that once you have a theater major going there for 4 years, do they almost need their ticket, their card punched that they've done a Shakespeare and a Neil Simon and a this and a this and a this? Is there kind of within the theater world a canon of the range of material, the way a musician needs to do Mozart, Bach, and Brahms? Talk to that.
I don't know that it's as specific as these particular playwrights, but in our program, certainly that sense of when we're thinking of programming, we are thinking if a student is here for 4 years and we're doing this many productions, how do we spread the wealth and get as many different kinds of styles and genres and periods in there so that they are leaving the program with as much experience under their belt as we can give them in that short a time.
Sure. And then that brings to you, Sarah, because you do have a classic to talk about, but talk about some of the highlights at EWU this year.
For many of the same reasons that Diana talks about doing her musical, we are doing Thornton Wilder's beloved classic, Our Town, starring Patrick Treadway as the stage manager.
Ah.
Cool. Yeah, and that's opens on Veterans Day, November 11th, and then closes right before Thanksgiving. And I'm directing that, and it is medicine for the soul. As I was getting so anxious this year, because I am a news junkie, I just thought, well, we're going to be opening a couple days after the election. What do we need? Mm-hmm. And I thought, we need Our Town. We need to strip down these barriers that we've created when family members can say to each other very casually, you can unfriend me if you want. Then I said, whoa, I have to figure out a different kind of messaging here.
Yeah. And talk a bit about bringing in somebody like Patrick Treadway to do it with him.
Well, it puts me at a lot of ease as a director because I think to myself, oh, it's going to be good. It's going to be beautiful. Yeah, Patrick brings depth and warmth. I think I was at Coeur d'Alene Summer Theater, and I heard someone say, oh, that Patrick Treadway, he's a classic. You know, and so just that warmth that radiates from him off stage is just something that you want to pay attention to.
Yeah.
And then to model that for the students is always what we're looking to do as, you know,
of course,
teachers.
Yeah, and then later on in the season, what do you have in the back of your head?
I'm sorry?
Well, later on in the season, what are a few things
you're
doing
the rest of the year? Jeff Sanders is going to direct the musical comedy Avenue Q, an adult musical comedy, the Sesame Street for adults, I suppose. And Carol and Jess will do music direction for that, and our students are very excited. And we've already had calls about Avenue Q specifically. So, and then we get to round out the spring with a great farce. Physical comedy is dear to my heart. But we have a guest director coming in to do Alan Ackbourn's Bedroom Farce. Mm. So witty, British comedy. I'm a huge fan of Fawlty Towers and John Cleese, and so something in that style.
Sarah Goff from EWU. So a real round of one of the deep riches of our community is this college theater. So thank you very much, Josephine Keefe from SFCC.
Thank you.
And Charlie Pepitone from Gonzaga.
Thank you.
And Sarah Goff from EWU.
Yep.
And certainly Diana Trotter from Whitworth.
Thank you.
What a treat.